Day, when I did the service for Miss Betty, with every church member, every time somebody passes away, your mind as a pastor, you're immediately flooded with your interactions, your thoughts of your interactions with that person. And if there was one word that came to mind for Miss Betty, it was the word precious. And I said something that her family agreed with. I said she had the uncanny ability, and not a lot of people have this, but she had the uncanny ability to be direct but kind. And it was wonderful, amen. And Sherry reminded me of a time where we were standing back there at the back door, and Miss Betty walked by me, and she was complimenting the message, and then she took her little hand and she patted my belly. And she said, "You putting on a little weight, Brother Josh?" those little things like that, man, they're priceless. And that was precious. She was precious. And so earlier in the week, I did a study on the word precious. And I used the verse in her service, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." But when I was studying the word precious, or where it is in the Bible, I ran across this passage, and I believe that there's some helpful stuff in here in these first few verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3 that can help us tonight. And I know just studying about it this week and this afternoon has helped me a little bit. So 1 Samuel 3 and verse number 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I called not, lie down again.' And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son, lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" And we'll stop reading right there. Father, please bless the reading of your word and use it tonight to help your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to point out just a few things before we get into this part of the story, because it may be that you are not familiar with Samuel. So Samuel was the firstborn child of Hannah. And Hannah, who had been barren, God gave her Samuel. And so she dedicated Samuel to the Lord and left him there at the house of God. Now, that's pretty incredible. Because while our firstborn is here at the house of God with us, I don't leave him here. And I sure wouldn't have done that when he was a toddler, amen? Or even smaller. And so she had entrusted his whole life. And Samuel was the first. The Bible says in verse number 1 here that the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Samuel is the first prophet in a long time past Moses. So we had not seen, we had seen judges, You guys look at the structure of the Bible and you see the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and then you get into Judges or Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and Samuel, and you start to see the timeline that God has laid, or you start to see the structure that God is laying as you read the Word of God. And in the days of the judges like Samson was a judge and was in a position to do great things. And of course you guys know the story of Samson. Others that were in there, Deborah, Barak, that was in there. There are many others that are in the book of Judges that were great people of notoriety who were raised up for the purpose of judging the nation of Israel off of the law that had been given by Moses. And so then we come to Samuel, and all of these people had been judges and priests and high priests. Even Eli is labeled as a priest, not a prophet. And it's not until 1 Samuel chapter number 3 and verse number 20, verse number 20, the Bible says, "And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord." So it's not just the priesthood anymore. Now it is a prophet. There's new words that are coming. See, they had the written law that Moses had written. They had the tablets. They had the Ark of the Covenant. Matter of fact, if we read on in 1 Samuel, we read that they lose the Ark of the Covenant. And in 1 Samuel 5, the Ark of the Covenant goes in the temple of Dagon, and Dagon gets knocked over. And you guys, if you are familiar with that, you know the story of how that they put the Ark of the Covenant, the same Ark of the Covenant that they brought out of Egypt, they put it there. And God had, or God was so mighty that when he went in the temple of Dagon, that he laid Dagon over. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter number 5. I don't need to get into that. I'm saying all of that because there was nothing new, nothing fresh, nothing written that had not been written before from the Lord up until we get to Samuel. That's what makes Samuel so important in the Word of God. Amen. He was the prophet that came from God. And so the reason that the Bible says that the Word of the Lord was precious in those days is because there had not been a time from Joshua up to 1 Samuel, up to Samuel, that we saw God talk to the people in a new voice, if you will. Am I making sense, y'all? Okay. We had only seen the law being recited, and they knew the law. Here's Eli. Eli knew the law, but when it came to his boys, Eli turned a deaf ear and a blind eye to what they were doing. When you read about Hophni and Phinehas, they were two that were ungodly. They were using the office of the priest for their personal gain. Now, we still see that in our day and time, don't we? How that still goes on. That stuff still kind of happens. I'm a little leery. I see that it can happen, but because I've seen stuff happen in other ministries, I'm a little leery when a ministry is handed over to the child of a former pastor. Yo, don't throw nothing at me, but I'm a little leery about that. And I'm not trying to call anybody out or any ministries out. Thank God God's working, God's moving. Praise the Lord for it. But if there hasn't been evidence given beforehand that the child of the pastor or of the leader or the priest can be trusted, then they probably don't need to be in that position just because of the family that they were born into. And so we see that is what had happened. And so in this passage of Scripture, there is a loss of Eli's family to Samuel. And it's the way that God... Matter of fact, God says the revelation that God gave to Samuel is so intense that God said all that hear it, their ears are going to tingle in verse number 11. I know I didn't read that to you, but that's what the Bible says. That I'm fixing to tell you something that even when they hear this message, their ears are going to tingle when they hear what I've got to say. This fresh thing, this fresh word, because the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Now Samuel, being the child that he was, and even though he was a child, he still had a desire to serve and to minister to the Lord before Eli. Even though he knew that Eli was not where he needed to be spiritually, the young man, the child, still decided that he would go in and out and do what God had put him there to do. And so he's faithful. The word of God is precious in those days. Let's look at verse number 2. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. So here in this passage, in this verse, it is both literal and spiritual. I mentioned a moment ago that he had turned a blind eye to the operations of his sons. And here at this point in his life, his eyes are physically getting dim. He can't see as good as he used to. But now, he's decided that whatever was spiritually right, he's not going to pay attention to either. It's a scary place that we can all get if we're not very careful. I think about over my life how that, I think about with my children, and Tara points this out all the time. I don't know that I completely agree with it, but she seems to think that I am much more lenient on Molly than I was on Luke. Probably am. Truth be told. But we have a tendency to turn a blind eye or turn a deaf ear or maybe be a little bit more lenient to someone or something that's more special to us. And that's what's happening here in verse number 2. And he says it in verse number 3, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. Now, I realize this is also, and I hope that you will see it too in just a moment. See, the old Jewish writers put somewhat of a mystical spin on this verse and on this passage, rather, because they would say that the sun would not set in one ministry's life before it rose in another's. And so we see the eyes are getting dim, the spiritual insight is gone. I mean, after all, in just a few verses, we read that he didn't even realize that it was the Lord that was trying to talk to Samuel. And this man had, we read in a couple chapters, guys, that he was 98 years old. He has no reason not to have the wisdom to apply to a spiritual thing going on inside his own church, even inside of his own home. He has no excuse other than the fact that Eli is not spiritually where he is supposed to be with God. And here comes this young man who is where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to do. And the lamp of God is going out in Eli's life. And it is rising in Samuel's life. And both of them have laid down to sleep physically. And we're seeing a spiritual condition wrapped up in a physical event that is taking place in the Word of God. Verse number 4 says that the Lord called Samuel. Here we are. Samuel laid down, both Eli and Samuel laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Hear my," and he ran to Eli. Now the Lord, I don't know what Eli sounded like, but he must have sounded like the Lord. So at least his voice sounded like the Lord. I was up there today at that funeral, and Miss Sherry was going around introducing me to everybody, and one of the ladies, she was about my age, I assume she was about my age, she looked at me and I said, "Hi, I'm Brother Josh." Said, "Hello, nice to meet you." She said, "I've seen you on YouTube." And I said, "Oh, well, thank you for watching." And then I got to thinking, it might not have been good what she saw on YouTube. And I don't know. But I thought that sometimes our voice, our image, our likeness goes before us. And there's always somebody watching. I want to tell you another little thing that happened to me. I never go to Canton, Georgia. I virtually never go to the Georgia National Cemetery. Went up there and we ate dinner at the Cracker Barrel that's up there. Somebody say amen. They got some good fried chicken. Amen. Ain't nothing better. You get a Baptist preacher and a funeral and fried chicken. Amen. But I got done eating and I'm walking out and a young lady stops me. And she says, I know you. And I'm in Canton, Georgia. I'm an hour and a half away from home. She said, I know you. And I said, you do? She said, yeah. You're a preacher. Yeah. She said, your name is Josh. Yeah. And I don't know who you are. And she told me her name. And she said, I came there one time with Kylie. And so I'm going through my mind because I don't know if y'all know this. I know she didn't know this, but we got a couple Kylies in the church. There's not just one Kylie. And so after a conversation, I realized which Kylie she was talking about. They might be watching. She's talking about you, Kylie Cole. But they were talking about, she was talking about Kylie Cole. And she had been here once, maybe twice. But she remembered and knew who I was. There's always someone paying attention to us. And how we walk and how we act and how we conduct ourselves. You might be an hour and a half away from home, but that don't mean somebody ain't in your path that needs to see you. Yeah. Or that God don't have somebody in their path. Doesn't matter what you got going on. Doesn't matter what's happening. We need to be attentive. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Amen. We need to be attentive to our own behavior. Oh, Eli here was not attentive to his own behavior. All right, let me go on verse number 4. Then called Samuel, or verse 5, excuse me. He ran to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. So here it is, the call of God coming to Samuel. And instead of Samuel just saying, Lord, here I am, he goes to what he knew was sure and steady. He went to the man of God, to the priest. And he went to him. And the counsel, this is why pastoral counsel is so important, what we say to people. Because thank God that God revisited the call of Samuel in his life. But here's what he says. I didn't call you. Go lay down. Can I give it to you in southern West Georgia vernacular? Get back in the bed, boy. Ain't nobody hollered for you. That's very likely. I wish you'd just go to sleep. That's how it'd sound in West Georgia. In Baptist, amen. And so here's Samuel, and we don't know exactly how old he was. The Bible says he was a child, and God calls him again. Thank God that the call of God supersedes what a man says. Amen. He calls him again. And he runs right back to what he knew worked. Happens a third time. Happens a fourth time. Let's read it. Verse 6, and the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, and I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that he didn't know the law. It doesn't mean that he had never heard of God. It meant that he did not yet have the personal relationship with God. It is a type, a figure of a lost person coming to an experienced, well-known Christian who should not be carnal, who should not be in a place of turning a deaf ear and a blind eye to what's happening in his church and what's going on in his own family. It should be that he could go to him and get the truth of God's word. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Verse number 8 says, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose, went to Eli, and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. It wasn't until the third time of being woke up in the middle of the night that he said, you know what? Maybe this is God calling this kid. Go! lay back down. But this time, I want you to say when you hear it again, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now, there's something unique that happens as Samuel receives the call from the Lord. One is that he's already gotten it three separate times. Three different times, the call of God to Samuel on Samuel's life has came to him. I don't know if you know this, but God is not obligated to come back to you again and again and again. God is not obligated. You're dealing with the call for missions. You're dealing with a call to preach. You're dealing with a call to serve the Lord in some other capacity. I don't know whatever the call is. God is not obligated to revisit the call on our life over and over and over again after we lay down and go to sleep on Him three different times. Because that's what Samuel did. Now, I realize that's the story and that's how that God had it and that's the way that God orchestrated it, but I think it also says a lot more probably could have happened. This chapter probably could have been a whole lot shorter had Samuel just said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." But he didn't. He trusted his own mind. He trusted his own thoughts. I'm not bashing Samuel. I'm just showing you the humanity of Samuel. He's doing exactly what you and I would do. So in verse number 9, the Bible says, "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be that if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times." But I want you to take note of what happens next, immediately after that. There's something that is uncanny. It is incredible, and I can't think of any other place except for when God called Saul, Paul the apostle, to serve the Lord. Do y'all know what it is? Have you picked up on it yet? He says something twice. Samuel's name. The first three times that he's called him, he said his name once. But now God says his name twice. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God came to where he was and stood and then called his name. Samuel, Samuel. This great prophet, this great revelator out of the Word of God is known by name by God. Do you know who else God knew by name? Moses. And he said, "I've called you by name, and because I've called you by name, I'm going to send you out to do these things for me." And he did those. Moses did great things. Moses was an incredible prophet. God used Moses in an amazing way. God called who else by name? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua. We don't read about him calling the judges by name. We don't read about him calling Eli by name. But we do read about him calling Samuel by his name twice here in this passage of Scripture. Now, should we relate that to the Apostle Paul? Well, I think so, because Paul got some new stuff. And it's pretty neat. Now they were on the road to Damascus. You go to, is it Acts chapter 9? Where he's on the road to Damascus, and you don't have to go there. We're not going to go there and read it. But in Acts chapter number 9, the best I can remember of the story, and I did not read it today. It's just kind of coming in my mind. I don't have no notes, y'all. I just got, we're just going off memory, so y'all pray for me. Amen. This is the day I'm a loose cannon. Ain't no telling what I'm going to say. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I'm glad they recorded. I can go back and watch it and write all these points down. Amen. Preach it again somewhere else, Lord's willing. But Saul was on the Damascus road, and God had been calling him, I believe, since Acts chapter 7. And the reason I say that is because when they stoned Stephen calling on the name of the Lord, the Bible says that while they threw the rocks at him, or before they threw the rocks at him, that they laid their coats at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And I believe that he watched those rocks fly at Stephen. I believe that Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul, heard Stephen say, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." I believe he heard that. I believe he saw the difference between one of his own being persecuted and a child of God being persecuted. And I believe that seared the conscience of the Apostle Paul long before he ever surrendered that call. They're on the road to Damascus. The great light comes out, knocks him off of his mule. And he's laying there on the ground. The others are blinded by what's happening. And only he hears the word of God begin to speak to him. And here's what God says, "Saul, Saul," two times. "Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? I've been trying to get your attention for a long time, buddy. And now I've taken you to this particular place in time, and I've brought you here." And the Apostle Paul goes on to do some incredible things for God, and he suffers mightily, and God uses him in a great way, and he writes more than half of the New Testament of the Bible that we have today. And it was done, and it's the only other time that I can think of where God calls a man by his name twice. It may be in there somewhere else, and I just don't know where it is, but it's the only other time. And here with Samuel, God calls his name twice because he's about to do some incredible work with Samuel. Now, Samuel answers the Lord, but he leaves something out. "Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" What did he leave out? Lord. Why did he leave it out? "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." There is a transition that takes place between verse 10 and 11 that is not noted in the Scripture, where Samuel goes from just being Samuel to prophet Samuel. And that transition or transaction is immediate. We're not seeing years pass between verses 10 and 11. We see years pass between 1 Samuel 1 and 1 Samuel 16. We see a whole nother generation come on the scene. But here we're watching it happen moment by moment. And it goes from "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," is what he was supposed to say, to "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Oh, Samuel did not know him yet, but he sure was willing to be his servant. It is the willingness of the heart of man that gets the attention of God. "I can use this one. He's pliable." Think about old Eli. God tells Samuel, "What I'm fixing to do is going to make people's ears tingle." And old Eli's in there snoring away. God's in the next room speaking to the next prophet. Eli's snoozing. It kind of reminds me of King Saul, who will come after Samuel. The Bible says this about King Saul: after he was disobedient to what Samuel said, he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He didn't know. Here's old Eli, and I wonder, and I know I'm reading between the lines again here, but I wonder if Eli didn't even realize that his time was up. He had grown so comfortable in just doing the maneuvers that he didn't even really want anything new from the Lord. He just wanted to just get by. I mean, he's probably, I don't know, maybe we learn in a couple chapters he was 98 years old, so maybe he was 94 in this one. I don't know how long transpired. I mean, I would say 94 years old, I'd probably be pretty tired too. I can see the humanity. I can see, but he was not doing what God wanted him to do. The Lord came and spoke to Samuel, called him twice. Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord went ahead and started talking to Samuel. Verse number 11. "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." And then he goes on to prophesy against the house of Eli. And he calls them by name. How would you like to know that you're the guy that gets downloaded with the responsibility of telling the priest, "You're done, bub"? I mean, right out of the gate, the first call on Samuel's life was to go to the man that he has ministered before. Go to the man. This is the man. The Bible says about Elijah and Elisha that Elisha poured water on Elijah's hands. And so I would imagine that a similar thing might have occurred here. He might have held the pitcher as Eli washed his hands. He might have got real close to him and loved him and thanked God for it. And the very first call was, "You got to go line this man of God up." Now that takes some faithfulness. You got to go have a hard conversation. "Here's what I want you to do." Next morning, Eli wanted to know what was said. The Bible says in verse number 18, "And Samuel told him every whit." I've often marveled at Eli's reply. He doesn't repent. He doesn't turn from his wicked ways. He doesn't try and change anything. He says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." No remorse. No change. Just kind of had this mentality. It is what it is. We learn a lot about Samuel, and I want to say this. I've talked a lot and I've bragged a lot about Samuel, but you know what? Samuel's boys went astray too. Just because Samuel was God's man and the prophet of God, his children still went astray. You can be as right as rain. You can do everything right. You can bring them up as perfect and as right as you possibly can. But kids got a mind of their own, and they're liable to do their own thing for a little while, go their own direction. It doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say to you is foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, is what the Bible tells us. It doesn't matter that their daddy was Samuel, that great fiery prophet. The Bible says about Samuel that the men trembled when he came into town. That's the kind of man he was. The other men trembled and said, "Do you come peacefully?" Because while Elijah could pray fire down, they understood that Samuel was God's prophet. "You coming peaceful?" I don't think there's any such thing as a perfect life other than Christ. I don't think we find any of the characters of the Bible that had everything right outside of Jesus. You won't find it. But what you will find is real human beings who submitted to a trustworthy God, and God used them for that purpose at that time. Esther said it beautifully, or rather, Mordecai said it beautifully to Esther, "For such a time as this." God's got you right where you are for such a time as this. I don't know what all you're dealing with. I don't know what all you're facing. I don't know what all intricacies of life that you're going through. but I know that God's got you in the position that He wants you in, and you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to listen to the call or whether you're just going to go on and nonchalantly say, well, it is what it is, and let the work of God be hindered. All right, I think I'm done. I'm kind of early, 8:06, but that'll be all right. We'll fellowship some more. I hope this has helped you. I know it helped me studying it and gave me some insight. And I thank the Lord for His goodness. Amen. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Y'all can take off. Lord, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for Your love and Your mercy, Your grace. Thank You for Your compassion. Lord, thank You for Samuel and for the example that You have given to us through him. Thank You for what we can learn from his life. Thank You, Lord, that these characters in the Word of God were human beings just like me. And Lord, You were touched with the feeling of my infirmities. Lord, You understand and You know what I deal with and what every person in this church goes through and deals with. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be willing to answer the call. We'd be willing to submit to You. And Lord, we'd be willing to serve You in the time that You have us. Father, help our church. Bless each and every one of us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. You're dismissed.